Neighbor,
I'm going to tell.
You know, when I was growing up, I was the youngest of 14. I was the baby, and I was a foster child, but there was 14 of us, and actually my mom took in about over 25 kids over a 20-year period, but I was one of the 14 that had been there a long time, but I was the baby. And they used to pick on me. My brothers and sisters picked on me a lot. And I always said that if you keep messing with me, I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell the news of what's going on. I'm going to tell the authority figure in the house, which was Mama. And Mama will always say, leave your brother alone. He's smaller than you. And my brothers, they were amazing because of the fact that even though that they picked on me, nobody else in the town could mess with me. Because of the fact that I had 13 older brothers and sisters that could whip through all of Ardmore. And so I just thank God for that. But the reality is that I always had a message to tell. I had to tell what was going on, what was happening. If something happens to you, if you get some good news today, you would run and go tell everybody. You wanted to tell everybody about what was going on. And a lot of times, the things that we often tell are things that are not beneficial to other people. Matter of fact, they're often a hindrance. A lot of times when something bad happens to somebody, we want to get on email and tell everybody about it. We want to tell everybody what happened to this preacher, what happened to that preacher, what happened to this guy. We want to spread the news. Bad news travels fast. If you ever go to a restaurant and you get a bad meal, or if you go to any place and you get bad service, statistics says that you will tell 10 people about bad service, but you only tell 2 people about good service. Why are we so interested in telling about the bad things that happen to people? Why are we so interested in telling the bad things that we experience in life, but we're not so interested in telling about the good things that the Lord has done? Somebody said, I'm going to tell. You have to get yourself in a position where you want to share the good things that God has done for you. I don't know about you, but the Lord has done some wonderful things in my life. I know everything might not always be a bed of roses. Everything might always be not like whipped cream, but God has been good. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling them about how my cars broke down, my engine blew, my truck, the other car that died, and I'm driving around down the church van. And they said, oh, this must be some bad luck in your life. I said, no, I see a blessing coming. See, because the reality is that every time that God takes something away, he always provides something so much better. I've learned to put my trust in God. And if you put your trust in God, he will make a way for you. So he didn't understand. He was not a believer. And I told him, I said, even though that these things have been taken away, God has something for me. I see a blessing coming my way. You got to get yourself in a position. You got to build yourself up with the Word of God. Instill the Word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. So when circumstances come your way, you know how to respond, and you can tell the good news and not focus on the bad news in your life. I know right now some of you don't have homes, but just say, I'm looking for my blessing. I know sometimes you don't have things to eat, but say, I'm looking for my blessing. I'm looking for my miracle to come my way. In our text, this is after Jesus had been buried and he'd been crucified on Calvary. And a lot of people say, oh, this was bad news. This was bad experience. The fact that our Savior, the prophet, the teacher, the one that had given us life, the one that had came and laid hands on the sick and caused them to be healed, the one that had opened blinded eyes and caused them to see, he has been crucified. And it is a horrible thing that he was buried. What's going to happen to us now? And the Bible says that the women, they went to the tomb where Jesus had laid. And the Bible says that there was an angel of the Lord that was there. And the angel of the Lord said, he is not here, for he has risen. Go and tell. Go and tell. Now listen. who they were going to tell. They were not going to spread the gospel right now. The purpose of them doing it, they were going to tell those that had already had a connection with Jesus. The angel said, go and tell the disciples. Go and tell the disciples. So the first thing that we have to understand, in order for us to be effective in going and telling the good news of Jesus Christ to somebody else, the purpose of us coming to church is to come and learn. Come and learn of the resurrection. Come and learn of the resurrection. There's three things that you have to understand. You have to understand the first thing that has to occur in church is that when you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life and you have decided to make Jesus king of your life, when they saw Jesus, they heard that the angel had, that the Lord had risen from the dead, and the angel told them to go and tell, and then they saw Jesus, the first thing they did is that they worshiped. Amen. They worshiped. When you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the reason why you have to come to church, because it's necessary for you to worship God. You did not come here for cereal. You did not come here for pastries and coffee. You came to lift up the name of Jesus. Now don't get it twisted this morning. There's a substantial difference between praise and worship. Everybody can praise God. Let somebody out there hit the lottery. First they will say, thank you, Jesus. They don't even know Jesus. But everybody is responsible for praising him. We know this because in Psalms 150, in the very last verse, the Bible says to let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You don't have to know him to praise him. But when you have a relationship with him, you will worship him. Yes. Worship requires a relationship. Yes. You know, you can look at my beautiful wife over here, my babies, and say, oh, how beautiful they are. You can praise them. But you don't know them. I am the only one that really can give obsessions to them because I have a relationship with them. And when you have a relationship with God, when you know for a shadow of doubt that Jesus has come into your heart and saved your soul, you can lay down before the Lord and say, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I magnify you. Lord, I lift up your name because you're an awesome and mighty and wonderful God. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say, I thank you, Jesus. Come on, put those hands together and praise God this morning. Amen. If you're going to be effective in telling others, the first thing you have to understand is that you have to worship. You have to worship God. Amen, Brother Dexter. Come on. Amen. Somebody needs sitting next to you. You have to learn to worship God. You have to worship God. The second thing you have to understand is that the first responsibility when you come into church is to tell each other within the church about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, why are we telling others if we already know? In order for us as the kingdom of God, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, in order for us to effectively share the gospel with somebody else, we got to learn about Jesus first ourselves before we can tell others about Jesus. So the second responsibility that when you come into church is that you need to learn of the resurrection. Learn of the resurrection. Well, why did I say learn of Jesus? You have to understand that the most significant thing that makes us Christians is the resurrection. A lot of people believe that Jesus exists. We know that the Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet. The Jews believe that Jesus was a prophet. Historical fact shows that Jesus existed. But we are the only ones that believe in the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul says that we should know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You have to understand the power of his resurrection does two things. First of all, it says that yes, he was dead. He was buried. He was sacrificed for our sins. He was our propitiation. He is the one that the Lord, our God, allowed that the sins of the world be cast upon him, and he would be the sacrifice for our sins. But the thing about the resurrection, that not only did he die, but he was the resurrection. He is the one that is our expiation, that he takes away the sins of the world. I'm glad that Jesus died. And yes, it's a wonderful story to tell that he died, but I'm glad that it did not stop there. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. I want to let you know that we have come here today. First, we came to worship, and then we came to learn about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. You have to understand that after you leave this place, your worship should not end. Your worship, your responsibility for the kingdom of God does not end at 11 o'clock a.m. once service is over. But your period of worship ends once you have shared the good news of Jesus Christ with the entire world. That means it doesn't end. Until they lay you in front of the under the altar and say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the good die young and the all die must. You have to understand that your responsibility is to share the gospel with everybody. You have to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. Well, where is this? Where is this? We saw where it talked about where we had to go and tell the disciples. But if you look later on in verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's everybody. That's not just folk that look like you. This is not folk that look, act like you. It's not folk that's in your economic status. It's not folk that have curly hair or straight hair or kinky hair. It's everybody. God says, go ye therefore and teach everybody. And then baptize them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. But not only teach them that, but teach them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded of you. You have to understand today that God wants you to go and tell. Amen. And the reason why we don't go tell is because it's good news. But let something happen to Pastor right now. I promise the news will travel fast. Amen. But Jesus is some good news. And we have to understand that we have a biblical obligation and responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to throw you a curveball today. A lot of times we'll stand up here and say, give your life to Jesus, give your life to Jesus. And a lot of people raise their hands, say the sinner's prayer, and their hands go down. They're still not saved. And I'm going to tell you why. The evidence that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is that you'll go tell. You want me to prove it? The Bible says in Acts, the first chapter, and the 8th verse, it says, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And the result of that power, it says, and you shall be witnesses. Acts 1 and 8. And you shall be witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the result of that power being in you is that you will go and tell. Yes, that's right. And if you have not made yourself an effective witness to Jesus, where you're going and telling others about Jesus, yes, you may not be saved. And today I want to challenge you today that once you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, I'm convinced your life will never be the same. You know, there's a song that we sing often in church that I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. You ought to have been there when he saved my soul. You ought to have been there when he made me whole. I started running. I started walking. I started talking and telling everybody about what the Lord has done for me. Many of you here are already saved and you've accepted Jesus Christ, but you've been hiding the news, the good news that you've learned here. Yes, you came to worship. Yes, you came to learn, but then you stopped. The third part of your responsibility is not only come to church and worship and learn, but after that you have to go and tell. Go and tell. Tell everybody. There's a song that we sing at Christmas, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Not only that was he born, he lived, he breathed, died, and he rose up again from the grave so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. This morning, maybe you haven't been the person that is going and telling the good news, but you've been a person that all you've spread it was bad news. You know, many times, you know, in my office, I look at some of my email, and all the email is about everybody else and what they did wrong. But nobody's spreading email about what Jesus had done right. Today, I want you to be one of the ones that don't just spread 10 things about bad things that happened to you. Eliminate those bad things and start looking at the good things that God has done in your life. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, the Bible says to think on these things, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, the good things. Tell things about the good news of Jesus Christ and share those to the world. Amen. This morning, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and maybe you are in a position where, you know, maybe you went through the motions, but you really realize now that you're just not saved. You don't have a connection with God. And you now have a connection with God because of the fact that you're not sharing. And if you're not sharing, because I'm convinced that once Jesus comes into your life, you can't help to share this thing. I mean, there's no way possible that someone saved your life and you don't tell nobody. I mean, right now, if I took a gun and held a bullet to his head and he jumped in and took the bullet from him, he'd be running and telling everybody about what this man did for him. Jesus took the bullet for your life. He took a cross on Calvary. And if you experience that in your life, I'm convinced you will go and tell. This morning, if you're not the ones that go tell and you want Jesus to come in your life and you save your soul, why don't you lift your hands right where you are? You want to be saved. We see hands today. Anyone else that needs Jesus to come into your heart and you want to be saved? Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you today. He wants you to be saved. This morning, for those that have raised their hands, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. This prayer is no magic trick. It's no hocus pocus. It's just your commitment that you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to live in me in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen. Amen. Come, let's put our hands together for the word today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.